Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is taken from Matthew chapter 3, the gospel lesson for today. It's a scandal. I'm not talking about the players involved in betting on both the collegiate and professional level. It's a scandal. I'm not talking about the head football coach at Michigan who was arrested and lost his job after assault charges were filed against him by a woman he was having an affair with. It's a scandal. Not the latest revelation uncovered in the millions of pages released from the Epstein files. The scandal I'm talking about is nothing less than the gospel of Jesus Christ itself. The scandal is the story of salvation, the message of the cross, Christ, the hope of sinners. And the reason it's such a scandal is because it absolutely makes no sense. It offends our reason, our understanding, our logic. The God who made the universe endures the humility of birth. And he winds up resting in a manger for animals. The possessor of all possesses no place here to call his home. The king of creation wears a crown of thorns. The Savior surrenders his life to a thankless, despising mob and dies on a cross like a common criminal. And the Bible says that the world views all of this as so much folly and foolishness and weakness and scandal. Well, the scandal comes into clear view as we watch the baptism of Jesus unfold in our gospel lesson for today. According to St. Matthew, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. If baptism is about new beginnings, well, there were certainly better places to begin than here. Be baptized in Galilee, in a beautiful spot along the shores of the lake. Or be baptized in the lush Jordan Valley immediately south of the lake. But not in the wilderness. Not where the Jordan empties into the Dead Sea, not in a lonely place, stripped of life, difficult to reach. Can you imagine a presidential candidate announcing his intention to run for office from the middle of the Hoosier National Forest? Can you imagine a presidential candidate delivering a major policy speech from the heart of the Badlands in South Dakota? Or how about a presidential inauguration taking place at the bottom of the Grand Canyon? That's what it was like to have the Son of God start his ministry to save the human race at the north end of the Dead Sea in one of the most God-forsaken places on earth. It all seems so inappropriate, so wrong, so scandalous. Why didn't John travel to Galilee to meet Jesus there? Why not baptize in a clear stream near a grassy hillside with cool breezes moving the air instead of near the lowest point on earth? But that's how God works. And if it seems that the place of the baptism was scandalous, what about the baptism itself? Jesus had to do some convincing in order to get John to agree to baptize him. According to our text, John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. Do you remember why John was baptizing? His baptism was for sinners. He was calling sinners to repent. He was calling sinners to put away their excuses, stop glossing over their wrongs, face up to the harsh reality of God's holy law. John's baptism offered forgiveness to those who were cut to the heart. His baptism offered forgiveness to those who were wounded and grieved by the wrong in their lives. His baptism offered forgiveness to those who were crushed and broken because of their guilt and their shame and their regret. Through the washing of his baptism, John was preparing sinners to receive the forgiveness that would come from the Savior of the world. As John said in the verses right before our text, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And now, the one mightier than John seeks baptism. The one who was so holy that John wasn't fit to carry his sandals, this one comes to be baptized. The one powerful enough to send the Holy Spirit and the fire of Pentecost bows his head to receive baptism. It's not right. It doesn't make any sense. It's a scandal. It should be the other way around. The sinless Son of God should be the one baptizing John. But God chooses to work in such a scandalous way. The sinless Son is treated as if he's the sinner. He's baptized as if he's no different from the crowd on the riverbank. He's baptized along with cheating tax collectors, abusive soldiers, prostitutes, every kind of social outcast. He's baptized because the scandal of the Christian faith is this: the sinless Savior becomes the greatest sinner of all. The one with no sin bears our sin. The one who would save us must make the burden of our fault his own. The only way he can take away the sin of the world is to become sin for us. As Scripture says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." This is the good news of the gospel. And by this good news, by this scandal, we are saved. Like John the Baptist, we have to admit we're not worthy to carry even a sandal belonging to the sinless Son of God. Like John the Baptist, we would say, no, Lord, you don't need to be baptized. We're the ones who need to be baptized. We're the ones. 11 days into the new year, who have already broken resolutions to be better this year. We promised ourselves that we would not be guilty of the same old garbage that plagued us in the past. We were determined not to say the same old painful words or to be guilty of the same old troubling behavior. But here we are, not able to keep our well-intentioned promises for even 2 weeks. By the end of the year, there will be more broken promises, broken dreams, broken hopes, broken resolutions than we can count. And who is condemned for all this record of wrong? It ought to be us. But the scandal is, it's Jesus. He takes the blame as he's baptized by John. And we are forgiven, as Scripture declares, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And now we face another scandal. It's not only that the sinless Christ was himself baptized. It's not only that the sinless Christ bore our sin in his own body for us. The last scandal is that in and through baptism, God saves us. In the waters of holy baptism, God imparts to us all the blessings of Christ earned on our behalf. In the waters of baptism, we do nothing and God does everything for us. In baptism, God acts and we receive. It's a scandal. How can a little water and a few words save anybody? It doesn't make any sense. But this is exactly how the grace of God operates. God does not need our cooperation. God does not need our help, our assistance, our good intentions, our pious efforts. That's why some people are offended at the scandal of baptizing small children who can't do anything to prove that they are worthy of baptism. Understand this clearly. God does not only work in ways that are reasonable and have our stamp of approval. He's not confined or limited by what makes sense to us. He never has been, he never will be. He does better than this. He works by grace. This may be scandalous, but it's true. And that's why he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." How can water combine with God's word to save anybody? Because he says so. Baptism now saves you. 1 Peter 3:21. How can baptism actually impart forgiveness of sins? Because he says so. Be baptized and have your sins washed away. Acts 22:16. How can baptism deliver the goodness and holiness of Christ to our unworthy lives? Because he says so. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. This beautiful life-saving scandal belongs to you and to me because of God's promise. Combine this promise with water, and we have precious baptism. In just a moment, we're going to observe a rite of baptismal renewal. This is not some kind of re-baptism. We're not doing something to make baptism more powerful or effective than what it is. Our baptism stands on its own. It clearly possesses all the power of God for saving sinners. In this renewal, we remind ourselves of what God has done for us in and through baptism. And in this way, we remember what it means to live out our baptismal grace. In the name of Jesus, dear friends in Christ, amen. Now may God's peace, which is far more than we can ever fully hope to understand, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.